This is The Stark Truth, hosted by Robert Stark. Brought to you by StarkTruthRadio.com. Robert Stark is an American journalist and political commentator. You can listen to his podcast at www.StarkTruthRadio.com.
Robert Stark here. I'm joined here with Ancient Problems. Ancient Problems, it's great getting to speak with you.
Likewise.
So what do you think is a good way to kind of introduce the subject matter? You said you wanted to talk about the practices of the upper middle class.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So what I wanted to do is I read your article, part one, regarding oral sex.
And there's also a part two.
You know, I may have read it, and I might even be getting the order mixed up, but I'll explain kind of like why I DM'd you. So I grew up...
I just want to say really quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
This started a whole shitstorm on Twitter with certain people saying like, why is everyone talking about this? Like, let's keep like Substack clean. And I guess like I'm doing harm to the highbrow decorum of Substack. It's kind of my fault, actually. Just I'm not doing anything like bad per se, but just sort of getting the subject matter going. But I kind of like how Substack is getting a bit more humorous and lighthearted. I think that's a good thing. But yeah, like this article, for some reason, like the subject matter went viral among kind of, I don't know what scene, maybe sort of the people who associate with Walt Bismarck, kind of like Walt was posting about this too a bit.
But well,
yeah, you read the article and it caught your interest because you said something about like your background. It's relevant to your like to the class background, you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. So basically I read this piece of yours and you were in it explaining how oral sex as a practice skews upper middle class, which is something that I did not know, but it made sense of a handful of things that I've seen over the years. And all of a sudden, something that was a mystery for me kind of clicked. And I'll just explain it this way. So I grew up upper middle class, basically. I would have been more middle class when I was born in the mid 80s, but probably by about the mid 90s.
Okay, so I was born in 85, so we're close in age.
Yeah, I'm 84. So by about the time Clinton came into office, you were hitting this like dot-com boom. And something that's funny is like, you know, people remember the boomers being wealthy, and that's true, but it wasn't really until the 90s that they came into so much money. And so I can kind of remember our quality of life when I was a kid improving. However, even though we were not upper middle class to begin with, one of the ways I got in with these people is my mom got a job at a private school. And through her job, we received discounted tuition. And so that put my sister and I with all these private school kids whose parents could just kind of like organically afford it without their mothers necessarily having to work at all. Or if they did, they were just working. They weren't trying to qualify for some kind of discount. Okay. But being among these people, what happened is as I entered high school, a lot of people became sexually active. And that was that. When I got to college and beyond, I would often hear guys I knew who were not Jewish who would talk about...
So the school you went to was... You're Jewish and the school you went to was majority Jewish?
It wasn't majority. I don't even know that it was like half, but it was heavily Jewish, yes, for sure. Like way more than the normal population, for sure. Like we're talking above 20% easy. It's possible there may have been some places that were like above 40. I don't know, but like we'll just say heavily Jewish, but it wasn't a Jewish school. It was affiliated actually with the church, but Jewish people were overrepresented as it was a high quality private school, with most of them having some kind of church affiliation where I'm from. Okay, but what I was going to say is, yes, that was a good point to point out is I went to school with all these Jewish kids and like all the way up through high school. Then I go to college and I just go to a regular state school, but yet again, there are a lot of Jews that happen to be at this one state school. And something that happens is all these guys I know who are not Jewish, I'll hear their locker room talk, and they're talking about Jewish girls as though they give really good head. Okay. And at every time, I'm always thinking, like, I have never in my life heard this stereotype. In fact, I went to school with people who would know because there were so many of them were Jewish. So even if you were not Jewish, you were probably hooking up with a Jewish person at some point. And this reputation was actually kind of the other way when I was in high school, including like many Jewish guys I knew would a joke about a girl not being good at it by virtue of the fact that she was Jewish. And so when I read your article and I saw how there is this kind of discrimination that slices according to class regarding sexual practices, all of a sudden something made sense to me. And that is this. It is not necessarily that these Jewish girls were so like wildly sexually experienced and great. It's that these guys whom we're commenting were not guys who went to private school. These were guys who came from more modest backgrounds, which is why they were at the state schools. Whereas these girls they were hooking up with in college that they were bragging about, their parents could afford like a Tulane or a GW. It's that the girls maybe didn't have the grades for it. So these guys, knowing almost no Jews who were not upper middle class, every time they met a Jewish girl, they just had this thought in their head. But what was really happening is these girls maybe just had a few more years' experience, and maybe they started earlier, or maybe where these guys came from, it wasn't possible for them to get any at all. And it was just a way for them to brag about the story. But all in, that was a long-winded way of saying, I then, like all of a sudden, reading your article, understood why all these goy guys I knew were talking about Jewish girls are so good at giving head. It's that they either didn't have a lot of experience to judge it by to begin with, or they were just expressing the fact that they were showing their class. They're not from the upper classes. They are guys from more modest backgrounds who were in college to try to make it into the upper echelons.
I want to get back to all that stuff, like the class dynamics. It's really fascinating. But I think to kind of introduce something is I also want to talk about that era because I'm a similar age of you, and I think right now things are going more. There's this like more kind of puritanical direction, and things are going weird in the opposite way. I think a lot of that was like, I mean, Zoomers have their own issues, but like. I think because like with Zoomers, they were traumatized by seeing porn at an early age, and it kind of caused like a more this neo kind of puritanical shift. But the age, like when I came of age, like starting with the late 90s and 00s, like there's different movies like Cruel Intentions to American Pie that kind of encapsulate that, or like the Girls Gone Wild stuff. And but it's like, yeah, it was really like a really raunchy, like hypersexualized culture, and like music videos too. And I think something was like really unique. And then also, like, you did have the whole, like, there was a whole kind of moral panic about oral and stuff like rainbow parties and those like multicolored bracelets. And that was like, you had Oprah Winfrey talking about that. But there were these different moral panics. And it was kind of, that was more like boomers, like kind of boomers' reaction. But I do think there was something very unique about like the 00s, and it ties back to what you were saying about like how boomers became very wealthy in the 90s, and just what was really unique about that era, because it was like the later Clinton era to Bush era.
Yes, like
It's different, very different from how things are today.
yeah, the movies from that era do tell this like story. And yeah, some of the quintessential ones. Like I do love Cruel Intentions and
Well,
Wild
Cruel
Things.
Intentions is about Wild Things I saw a really long time ago. It's not that fresh. Cruel Intentions is actually about the ultra wealthy, like on the Upper East Side, but like American Pie sort of epitomizes like the upper middle class. And it
Yes,
really,
yes,
I think
yes,
that
yes.
more epitomizes like the zeitgeist of that era.
So I was going to say American Pie, and then like the apotheosis of this is this dark note that gets hit with American Beauty in the sexuality that's explored there,
All right.
which is both, completely ridiculously Kevin Spacey toward a teenage girl, but then suspiciously Kevin Spacey is not the guy going next door to blow the guy bench pressing. But those two movies, American Pie and American Beauty, really do drive at this upper middle class.
And it is,
sexuality.
Yeah, it is. There is like a kind of like cultural leftist angle. We're saying like these white people in the suburbs are like actually like they're actually deviant. But it's kind of one of those things like it's from a cultural leftist angle, but it's based on a lot of truth. Like there is these
So
people
much
trying
truth.
to create this really safe like sterile like environment for their family, and you had like the kind of helicopter parenting and this kind of hyper sheltered environment. But then you see this like degeneracy like really seeping in. It's absolutely true.
I mean, so in my experience, this is another thing I wanted to talk about. Like, so there was some weird sexual shit going on that, like, I'm sure it's like Walt says, like the upper classes and the lower classes, they are doing the same things in terms of the cars they drive, some of their sexual preferences, but not all, things like this. And then it's like the middle class that does this like very humble, kind of like boring, just go along to get along thing. And I have to say,
do you think there's a distinction between the very wealthy and the upper middle class? You're talking about both.
Yes, yes, yes. So what I'm talking about in the immediate is the upper middle class. They interest me more because there's so many more of them.
So,
I interact with upper middle class people on a daily basis in my job. It's the only way I can try to stay upper middle class is by doing business with them, because poor people can't afford to work with me. Okay. So like I deal with these people and I hear their problems, and funnily enough, like all these things I probably resented when I was younger, I find solace in almost like actively doing them. So to like draw an analogy, like in working out, often people will be like, I hate doing squats or I hate deadlifts or whatever. And then they'll say, so I'm going to set out on a mission to make it like my favorite thing to do, so it no longer holds that sting for me. Well, conversationally, something I've done is I've just completely adopted a lot of the conversation norms of the upper middle class. And so when I'm dealing with people, often I'm like, man, I'm getting this thing done in my house and these contractors, they can't get anything right. And I just start like pearl clutching a little bit. And funnily enough, they don't smell bullshit. They just kind of go like, welcome to the club. And you have like a pleasant conversation about how like no one is confident at doing anything anymore. But going back to the habits of this class sexually, for sure, I have heard stories of, you know, some guy's dad kind of like ogling a girl who's like underage. At my high school, there was a girl who for
sure. Well, it's interesting because proles will do that. But it's a major taboo among just regular, like, white middle-class people. But, like, you hear these complaints, like, proles or immigrants will do that, but it's a huge taboo among the middle class.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I was going to say, so I knew a girl who was on the wealthier side at my school. She was not in my grade or anything. But she 100% blew one of the assistant football coaches. And it was very well known. In fact, I would almost be shocked if her parents did not find out about this. And upper middle class people just have a way of handling this stuff where they brush it under the rug. They tell the girl, you better never fucking look at this guy again. And they don't want a big scandal. They want their daughter to go off to college and hopefully marry a guy who's going to be super successful from the business school and kind of like get them off the ledger. But for sure, like I can remember certain stories where there's these taboos where like, There's a transgression. I mean, dude, people's parents having affairs with other parents, like crazy shit. I know someone who the mother put a hit out on the father in a divorce. There are some wild sexual like practices and mores, including swinging or whatever, that you know someone on a long enough timeline, and either they accidentally slip up, or like more commonly, actually, I think people think, I've known you such a long time. We shoot the shit all the time. You're probably not going to stop talking to me over this. And they demur, like, yeah, I like to see my wife blow guys or whatever. Like, I've heard all these stories. And yeah, so shockingly, I would have to say, the upper middle class is probably actually like a little bit more degenerate than like trolls imagine, not less.
Because I think there's like a stereotype when people think of the ultra wealthy, they think of like Jeffrey Epstein, and then there's sort of a stereotype that the upper middle class are really boring.
I don't know. The upper class, I think, is probably extremely variable, actually. Like, I'm not 100% on everyone. Like, we know a handful of names. I don't know that many billionaires' names off the top of my head. There are a few that are very famous, like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk. I would argue Carlos Slim is extremely famous, but very few people, at least in America, know his name. And the longer I would go, like, I don't even know how many others I know off the top of my head, but they just start to disappear. So I like, just to be honest, I can't speak enough about them because I do not know. And I think there's probably some ways in which they're weirder than we can imagine, and plenty in which they're extremely boring.
Oh yeah. So yeah, like with the whole practice, why it's maybe prevalent with the upper middle class, so it is like a delay. There's sort of a delay mechanism to prevent pregnancies, and in some cases, like it might occur even like a few years before intercourse. But it kind of relates to the whole idea that this demographic, they can handle degeneracy better, but it doesn't like they have much lower risk of like. There isn't a risk of pregnancy, so maybe that makes sense why it's promoted. And the thing is, like, they're not going to be those engaging. They're not going to be like screw ups. They're people who will go on to do well in life. But why do you think, like, what do you think is the appeal of that particular act?
You're talking about oral sex.
Right.
I don't, you might have nailed it. I really do not know what would be the appeal over other things.
Because I
Like,
think also there's also a racial component too,
so that's
where
one
whites
thing I
are more
was
likely to be
gonna.
engaged, where blacks and Latinos are more likely to just engage in intercourse.
So that's one thing I was gonna home in on, actually. Okay, so I have heard this come up exactly once in my life, and just like reading your article, it was extremely illuminating when I heard this. But okay, so for background, I used to work up in the Northeast, and I had this boss at this one job who was this absolute brick shit house of a man. It took no shit from anyone. Dressed pretty sharp, but like not really memorably. But like, if you were to like boot up like 1950s masculinity dot like exe, this guy who he was a large, like a formidable, like big dude, but he had like the Don Draper kind of aesthetic of like
All right.
he would wear like a really cool like checked Oxford shirt with like slacks, like never a tie. That was not his style, but like his hair always had like some gel in it. He just looked sharp at all times. So this guy, despite being like 240 to 270 at any given time, big football fucking American, after you knew him for a while, you would find out he was gay. And he, not only was he gay, he had, I don't want to give up like too many details, but while I knew him in this somewhat boring kind of corporate life, prior to that, he had run an extremely popular gay club in New York City back in the day. It was like one of the places you wanted to be. If you were gay, you were certainly there during the era that this place was popular. But this guy made a lot of money back in the day. It was a very shrewd guy. He made sure that when it was nighttime, he got to work the door in addition to all his other tasks, and he would just walk home with like a briefcase full of cash. But this guy told me that once upon a time, he had worked in like insurance sales or some other corporate job. And there was this white guy in the office, and this white guy absolutely adored black women. And this was in like the very early 1980s when it was still not like it was pretty taboo, you know, there wasn't a lot of this. But furthermore, the point about this guy is this white guy in the office was an absolute herb, just like a short, fat nerd, ear hair, ear wax, nose hair. Balding down the middle, curly hair on the sides, and he was quite popular. Okay. And the reason this guy was popular is he absolutely loved eating pussy. And back then, you could not find a single black guy to do this job. And so the market required this service, and this man supplied it. And he really narrow casted for black women because it upped his odds rather than lowered them for him getting a date. And when this guy told me this, I was absolutely shocked. And he basically said, people do not remember this, but black people in this country, regardless of how they were voting, blah, 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 whatever, they were very socially conservative, way more than conservative white people. And he said, for that reason, none of them gave head, and this guy got a lot of dates.
But you still have some of that mentality today. Like, there is like a machismo mentality about that.
You know, it's hard for me to tell. Like, I used to listen to like maybe what would be called like more legitimate rap, and now like all I hear is the absolute insane bubblegum shit. Like, it's almost always a woman now. It's like Doja Cat, Cardi B, City Girls. And basically the only thing that they're allowed to rap about is someone licking their snatch or their asshole. So like, I
Oh,
really
right.
don't know,
So it's maybe
but
gone in the opposite direction, but there's some, you have rappers who signal the other,
well,
who
so
signal the other way. Like, you have some male rappers who signal they won't.
I don't want to talk too Hotep here, but maybe there's a psyop to get black people in on eating pussy, and they're just always promoting it in rap now as like a birth control method.
Do you think like receiving cunnilingus is like coded as sort of for affluent liberal white women?
You know, that is a good question. I don't know. I mean, clearly the City Girls are, I just call them the City Girls. Clearly, like, they're trying to establish some element of prestige, or like class money involved with this, I guess. But I have not thought of it in those terms. You know, your chart was like just David Attenborough shit. And I was like, holy fuck. I'm just like the, it's like looking at DNA or something. And I was like, I never knew that. And you know, again, like not to like turn you into my shrink, but I occupy this weird space where I don't really think like upper middle class people on any host of issues. Although pragmatically, like for things like saving or making money, I do. In terms of cultural norms, I'm very, very different from them. And I've always kind of had one foot in, one foot out. But it's like Walt says, these people will never really accept me. There are so many things they are better than me at, but there are some things I can do that these people absolutely cannot do, not as well as me. But they kind of don't care because they can smell no matter how large your vocabulary is, you still have an accent, you still have calluses on your hands, like any number of things. And it, I don't know enough, but I'd love to hear, like, what are your thoughts on this?
No, I think that's true. I think that's true based on people that I've interacted with and going off stereotypes. But I guess like a more affluent men, they're maybe more secure in their masculinity, like the work like working class men. But I think it's conservative coded because I think a lot of right wing men won't do that, and I think like some a lot of right wing women are actually repulsed by that because they have a more rigid idea of what masculinity is.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think like the right wing thing, I would think, is almost a disgust impulse rather than anything ideological.
Yeah, right wing people. Well, they have a higher. I do think right. So conservatives, which may seem a bit like the pandemic, may seem like an odd exception to that, like how they reacted to the pandemic. But like right wing people have a much higher like disgust threshold, and well, liberals tend to be more tolerant of a looser disgust mechanism.
For sure. And so what I was going to say is,
and then both the left and the right, they both like to signal in different ways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like with the right, they signal for masculinity, and then the left will signal how like egalitarian they are in gender. Like they both have their signals.
Sure. Well, one thing I was going to say is, shoot, what were you saying 3 seconds ago before right and left?
I forget.
You were talking, it'll come to me in a second, but, discuss Mac. So ideology is just cover for what you're going to do anyway. It's the same thing in politics. So like ideology is regularly just cover for men with guns. And
well,
so
I think like each like sexual act kind of describes a different political ideology.
Like libs are going to be freaky no matter what. And so they're going to come up with an ideology that kind of covers and allows them to do that. And the same,
right.
Like, look, if they made having sex with girls illegal, the first thing you and I would do would click up and it would be priority number one. We are going to end this regime and we are going to have heterosexual sex once again, for sure. Right. And so if you are freaky, you are going to do everything you can do to continue this way of life because, like,
so
life
yeah, people
orgasm,
who are like people who are sexual deviants. Or their sexuality is like suppressed by the state and certain groups today, but like obviously gay and gays of the past, like all basically if the regime or culture mass society prevents them from carrying out their sexual desires, they'll become very militant and channel all their energy into like fighting that.
For sure. Like there's certain things, you know, like I always say, like I say this jokingly, if this is a joke, if you flip it, whatever. It's fine, but just referencing, this is a joke. Like everyone has an opinion. Like they'll read a newspaper or open up their phone, their laptop, and they'll think, my God, there's no good reason to have a genocide. But then like imagine if the price of coffee went up 100x and then you found out that there was a huge store of this shit just sitting in the mountains of Colombia. I would be ready to roll the fucking tanks in. No fucking way am I going to go through life without coffee.
I get that as like someone who's a huge coffee drinker. Like I cannot function without coffee.
Like, hey, we're going to take all the women on the planet and ship them to Indonesia and have fun sitting on your ass in Minnesota. You are going to get on a fucking Viking ship if you have to, and you're going to go to Indonesia. No fucking way.
Another thing I read some article from a feminist standpoint about like college hookup culture, and it said that like there's a class dynamic that says like working class women are more likely to be slut shamed for doing the same behavior that the upper class women engage in.
How was she sourcing that information, or like how would she quantify that?
I think there's two angles to it. I think she has a strong sort of feminist victimhood bias, but I think there's partial truth to what she's saying in that the decorum of how they present themselves.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. There's probably any number of things that are negative that disproportionately affect wealthy people. And never once in my life have I come across an article, aside from a piece I wrote, that was basically like, maybe we should be a little bit nicer to the rich people or whatever. But, you know, it's like Hanani is always on about this, but it's like women hardest hit. It's like women, poor people, BIPOC groups. But you never see like, It just sucks to be a dude. Like, you never see this one, or it sucks to be rich, or it sucks to be tall. You never see these articles, no matter how many truths you may have to like put on those listicles. And so that's why like I'm a little bit suspicious of this. But like, I don't think slut shaming really exists anymore. Like, I think slut shaming is a term you deploy if you're like trying to like show your nipples in public or something, and someone's giving you a hard time about it. I mean, like, I know girls who I totally respect, who would have a day where they had a hard time going to school because like their skirt was too high. And those girls, when someone said something to them, especially if it was like a male authority figure, they took such umbrage at it. Like, I can't believe you're even speaking to me. Like, how dare you deign to comment on how much skin I'm showing? But I'm thinking, like, but objectively, there's like a line, right? Like, how else would you expect or like them to carry this out? And furthermore, like, that when these women, like, they're now mothers, they don't think the way they did when they were girls. They think closer to the male authority figure. And I'm very curious, like, how many people like see that or whatever. Anyway, my
Do you
point
think
being, like, I know upper middle class girls who effectively got slut shamed for not even being sluts, just like they showed a little too much skin. So I just it does exist. I think the main sin when you're wealthy is doing this shit publicly. Making it so people can't pretend is the main sin. So I was gonna say, I know some pretty like they're upper middle class for sure in this country, but that's quite wealthy in my opinion. I know some guys who are boomers and they have daughters, okay? And some of them are now like older, those girls are like they're in their like mid-20s or late 20s, and then some are in their late teens, okay? And the daughters of these guys, the way that they talk about them. So one, I know for a fact, sometimes when the girls are pretty young teenagers, they're like early in high school, the guys are suspicious that their daughters might be having sex. So they make it basically mandatory that the girls get on birth control, whether they're having sex or not. And one of the ways this is often justified is like a dermatologist tells the girl that her skin is going to clear up and it's also going to make her boobs bigger or whatever. And the girl's like, sounds great. So this is one way that this happens. But another thing I know is like I've heard of them, like, they're talking about what was I gonna say? Yeah, they're just like very, a lot of these conservative guys will change their opinion on abortion when they have daughters, is one thing I'm gonna say out loud. I know conservative guys who they have not had to do this. But I just know pragmatically, like they're very uninterested in their daughter having a
That's
child
kind
at
of
a young
interesting
age.
because, yeah, I think you're saying like upper middle class conservatives, because with the alt-right types, it's kind of the opposite. Like they're saying like I'm like, we're against abortions for our tribe, but we don't care. We even want the out-groups to have abortions. It's kind of an inverse of that.
It's possible, but how many of these guys have a wife and kids, these alt-right guys?
They probably don't.
Like, this is like one thing I have to say just on behalf of everyone on the fucking internet, because I know like the vast majority of people do not want to get bombarded with like natalism discourse, even if they do have kids. Telling people like to have kids when you yourself cannot get a date is just such chump ass behavior. Like, I don't expect people to be like pulling out their family albums and doxing themselves and blah blah blah, but I just see like these people who have opinions on trad wives or who's a slut or like any of this stuff. It's all hypothetical until you start to bolt down like all the nuts and bolts, the details, make it pragmatic. Like, every vision sounds great in your fucking head, bro, but like you tell me how cool you are as like a macho man when you're having some argument with your wife or whatever, and I would love to be a fly on the wall and hear how you handle her histrionics or whatever you're gonna do. They're full of shit.
This kind of ties to what we were talking about. Like, if you've been following like the Hawktua girl, she's from a working class conservative background, and she's just very explicit sexually on the interview. Well, with upper middle class women, they're more like they're more very private. They're more private about what they do, and but with Haktua, like there's just something very like working class about that. And she's all, yeah, I think she is conservative, but it's just like it's a vulgarity culture, but I think that it does show you the class distinction there.
Well, okay, so this touches on something that's very interesting to me. Okay, so it's you were talking about everyone's signals differently or whatever. So getting out of like left right stuff and getting more into class stuff, okay? So I have known some pretty wealthy people, specifically down in South Florida. And I knew a woman who had her boobs done, not really because she wanted to get them done, but she had had breast cancer some years before, and the way she got cut up, like her boobs just look weird in general because they were cut up a little bit. So, all in, she got a referral from friends of hers who had had them done for cosmetic reasons. But my point about talking about this, these are very wealthy people. I'm talking like they have tens of millions, probably not hundreds, but they for sure they have multiple tens. And it's not crazy for them to drop like 16K plus on a set of boobs. But what they do is they get it taken from real fat that's already in their body, which also serves another purpose because they can slim down, say, like their stomach area. But they go for very understated, natural looking. The two things they do is they keep the size within believable range. The other thing they do is they make sure that whatever is happening with like the nipple is in a way that looks like a very good natural state for someone maybe like 10 years younger than they are, but not something that has never existed on a real life genetic human being. They go for this natural understated look. Same thing with veneers. They may get veneers, but they don't go for the neon white because it's very garish. And so something I have seen is like, so like the women I'm talking about might be like upper class Venezuelan women, right? But then you'll see like a recent Venezuelan emigre. And sometimes the woman will have like a butt implant that is just so obviously fake. And my suspicion is they want you to know they had surgery. They're not going for natural. They're trying to signal that they have enough money to even get that shitty surgery that they got in like the back of a van in an alley somewhere.
Well, if you look at like Kim Kardashian, she's very wealthy. I think she's like it might even be a billionaire, but like her ass surgery, like it does seem like really pearl coated. It's so over
So
the top.
I don't keep up, but from what I have heard, I think she may have had a surgeon go back in there and try to clean that up, hence because it was like so ridiculous, and like the curvature where the hamstring is supposed to be is so fuck. Look, who would ever, I'm telling you now, I've said it many times, whichever surgeon figures out how to fix the hamstring to glute juncture on these fake surgeries and make them look more natural is probably going to be one of the wealthiest people in this century. But yeah, for sure, dude. Like there's like all these signals, right? And so going back to the surgery and the oral and like all of this business, like I think that one of the reasons you and I, or I didn't know that this was an upper class thing is the upper middle class tries to hide their sex practices generally, but you have the birth of OnlyFans. And so something I've seen that's very interesting is I saw this one girl get promoted to me on Instagram, okay? And this was like a rather large gal, but I watched many,
But
many
I
of her.
think with like OnlyFans, like a lot of them become very wealthy from OnlyFans. But I think culturally it's kind of pearl coded to be on there.
Okay, so I'm going there, but I actually think you're wrong. I think many of them do not become wealthy of it, that is the extreme
Well,
minority.
some of them do. I'm not saying the
So,
majority do,
yes.
but
So I'm
I guess the
gonna.
point I'm making is like with the upper classes, they still value privacy a lot more. Like they wouldn't be on
Yes.
there, with
So
some
check.
exceptions.
Yes. So check this out, though. So this gal who was rather large, good looking woman, by the way, make no mistake, good looking woman, just like like Midwest to the extreme, like Anna Nicole Smith on her deathbed. That's not what she looked like, but we're talking like we're deep into voluptuousness, okay? She was doing like all these things at this pool, and I was like, how the fuck is she recording like these? Like, they're not like she's not showing anything, but like, you wouldn't allow this behavior in a public pool if you were a living, breathing adult. And so I realized I was like, oh shit, that's her pool indoors. She has like a fucking mansion. And the more you watch these videos, the more you realize she is absolutely fucking bawling somewhere in the Midwest in this huge house that probably has like a 3-car garage. It probably has a guest house. She's got a fucking indoor pool that's heated. She's got a gym in this bitch. She's got everything, right? And all I can think is she has none of this from her OnlyFans, which she does have an OnlyFans. Her man is quite wealthy. It looks like, I'm guessing he works as in construction or contracting. And she kept mentioning how they buy up like multifamily units and flip them. And I'm like, yeah, you didn't get that kind of capital from having a fupa on the internet, lady. So my point being, we are now coming full circle where you
Like, I'm
have
thinking that's but like
rich
construction
people. So she's
is
not.
very like I like being construction is very like nouveau riche or like facie
Well,
cottage.
yes. So
It's a
this is my
type of rich
point.
people who are more they're probably kind of culturally trashy, but more like they're also like more likely to be Republicans too.
Yes, this is my point. This woman is not actually constitutionally upper middle class, although that's her tax bracket. But it's so interesting to see people trying to make it prestigious. What she's trying to say is, I made my money through this venture, which is like my big fucking fupa. But it's like fake, it's bullshit. But actually, this is how like a lot of things in life work, I've noticed. I'm sure there are
Right.
Substackers hackers with like bajillion bot accounts who one of the reasons they can do Substack is they're rich, whatever, good for them. But my point being, like, often people they present that they are successful in one domain by kind of playing games with how they make their money.
You touched on the Jewish angle, but do you think like there is this anti-Semitic trope that like Jews are more pervy, and do you think there's a significant difference between like Jews and of the upper middle class and just like upper middle class Anglos?
So this is so interesting. Okay, so I was not super aware of this stereotype, and I actually kind of internalized it in the last like probably 3 years recently, mostly not through people being like, ooh, like those Jews, they're so greasy, whatever. Actually, from hearing often Jewish people talk about being horny Jews. And when I think about it, this totally checks out. However, I'd not formerly heard other Jews talking out loud about this. I just thought like I was horny and I was like the only one or something. But I had not thought of this. I do see, you know, there's like this angle with like your Harvey Weinsteins, your Woody Allens, whatever, whatever, Jerry Seinfeld. But the truth is, I agree with your second kind of statement, which is that like I think most groups have a certain amount of guys that are going to do this, given the power and the money, like a Leonardo DiCaprio, if you will, who I don't think is Jewish, but I haven't clicked on his early life or whatever. But like, I think that this is kind of upper middle class behavior, not Jewish behavior. I just think that Jews over-index in the West for certain jobs that pay at certain levels or certain
Yeah, I
prestige.
think like you get the anti-Semitism like things like I was saying like boasting about like money and that kind of like sets off some people and you get anti-Semitism. But I do think like Jews also tend to be a bit more blunt. I know the anti-Semitic stereotype is that they lie, but I've actually found them to be more blunt. When I've noticed like with upper middle class Anglos, everything is more about putting on an image of being polite and respectful. But having a lot of the same, like they're just a status conscious.
Yeah, well, so something that's funny about that with like what the Jews are like and what the Jews are not like. So, you know, there's a stereotype about being cheap, and I see it in some
No,
respects,
not. I've actually
right?
found Like, it is, well, obviously a lot of stereotypes are true, but I've had a lot of Jewish friends, and I've actually found them to be pretty, like, generous and hospitable. I haven't found that to be
So
true.
this is what I was going to say. We don't like to overpay for like a hammer, right? Like if you
Oh,
present to
right.
me $100 hammer and a $50 hammer, I'm not retarded. I'm gonna, if they're comparable, I'm taking the $50 hammer. However, I have found if you want to talk about people who know the way the world works or who make it work a certain way when it is not formerly been retrofitted for it, I think we're very generous when it comes to like tipping, sometimes tipping before a service. I would say bribing, attempts at bribery. Like you talk about being blunt. I mean, I used to do like what I would call more formal sales. And I cannot tell you how many hundred or thousand deals I've closed saying, "Can I bribe you?" And the person just goes, "Well, what are you proposing?" I said, "Okay, I will reduce the price by this much. You have to do it now. It's a take it or leave it deal. But I just want to move on with my day, get a little money on the board, get my boss happy. Maybe I get to leave the office, have a drink, whatever. But I will reduce my commission if it makes this more affordable for you. And let's just move past this conversation and whatever you wanted to punch me in the face 3 seconds ago. Not personal. Let's just fucking get 3 signatures. You give me your credit card and we get you the fuck out." And you know who really loves that is people buying shit from me. And I don't think they were
Oh,
ever like,
yeah.
they were not like, "Oh, this fucking like Jew me down." Like, no, like I Jewed myself down. Like, let's just get past this, buddy. Like, I don't like you. I want to like talk to another guy. I don't like to make even more money. But like, I think we're very good at like tipping, bribery, occasional flattery, probably giving and receiving sexual favors. Yeah, I think we're like everything's toned up on us. You know, we're like more heaven if you do, we're more hell if you don't.
Well, they have more. They have greater intensity. So, like, the basic anti-Semitic view is that they just view Jews as villains. But what I've noticed is that Jews can be, you get extremes. Like, you can get extremely, like, wonderful and kind people, or you can get more assholes. With Anglos, you get a lot of people who are just kind of neutral. Like, there's more greater intensity and personality is the key. Is really the key thing.
Yeah, and I would even argue, like, if we're getting a little more granular, that, like, the Americaners, they can go either way. Like, you could have someone of, like, German extraction in the Midwest, and they might be very kind of, like, go along and get along, and they might even, like, kind of, like, rather than having different politics than you, kind of, like, subtly express that they would not like to even discuss politics, or they think it's gauche. Whereas you could have, like, someone of German extraction who's in, like, North Texas or something, and they're just like absolute like fuck around, find out, like come and take it, Chad, type. Where like the Germans, they can index in any kind of way, and I think that's also largely because the thing about them being Aryan, that myth, it's bullshit. Like apparently, like I think Razib Khan has done a lot on this, but like there's no German. Germany is many different types of people who got lumped into this one border, and they're like all white or whatever, but they're
And
not.
same with like Albion Seed, like Anglos from the South are very different from like Yankees and Puritans.
You're damn straight. Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
And obviously, like different, there's so many different Jewish cultures too.
Yeah, there are. I mean, yeah, and it's not just like, Ashkenazi, Sephardic, Mizrahi. It's not just those types. It's like, so I had my parents were definitely like more blue collar extractions in
I
their
wonder if
time.
that's an East Coast thing, because I'm from LA. Like most Jews in LA seem to be at least upper middle class. Like there isn't really a blue collar Jewish culture in LA, but I think from what I've heard, there is actually on the East Coast.
Correct. So yeah, and also Chicago, in some places like that, like probably like Illinois in general, I think took a lot of Jews after the Holocaust. But what I was going to say is, so fuck, where was I going with this? Shit. Yeah, I apologize. It's been a long day for me. But I was gonna say about like the class divide things. You know, like the Jews, they are intense for sure. They index these different ways. But what I was gonna say is that like you have some that are like finance Jews, then you have some that are more like hippy dippy artsy Jews. Like you have everything. And precisely because I come from like these more these people who were not born into money when they got here and yada yada, there was more of a push within my family actually to do these practical jobs like doctor, lawyer, blah blah blah, which I rejected, but for sure, because if you do not come from money, you know how much it sucks to not have it. But like I was not exposed to, there's this huge tradition of Jews in the arts, like well past comedy, but just like visual arts, music, every aspect of it, music production, the writing. Like I joke that like all these like raps, like all this Cardi B shit, it's probably
So
written
it's
by
kind
like
of like the
a
Brahmin, like the Brahmin
66-year-old
Vaishya
Jewish guy.
distinction.
Yeah, there's probably going to be a Brahmin guy writing all these like raps about like lick my asshole, this, that, the other for like Sexy Red or whatever. But like I was not introduced to these people when I was a kid. Like, you know, they were like, you know, not kosher. They were like haram. Like just it wasn't acceptable. But what I was going to say is, yeah, like I just think that yeah, maybe Jews are more flagrant with their sexuality. I think the complaint is more like Zog type stuff where they feel that Jews are pumping out pornography. But like I always point out, like the top
I
of
think
any
they used
industry.
to. Yeah, I think like the porn industry, I think it was like back in the 70s and 80s, it was very Jewish, but from what I've heard, it's now it's all like Cubans and Puerto Ricans and Miami.
So I used to work in a building that the Bang Brothers like CFO or CEO, I think it was the CFO, like had lived in for a while. It was infamous. I would see porn stars working out there. You know, there's also Jubans, there's Jewish Cubans, like many such cases. Jewish
Oh,
people
yeah.
marrying Cubans is a long tradition, especially down there. Like it's like a chocolate vanilla combo. It's like very classic. We gravitate toward each other for whatever reason. It's often a Jewish guy with a Cuban woman, but there's any which combo with this. Yeah, man. You seem like you're very positive on this having like ideological implications, and you were asking questions about having upper middle class women be serviced by lower class women. Could you speak on this a little bit more?
I think it's more just kind of a thought experiment. Like, I was kind of thinking like these like chuds are always complaining about, oh, there's all this hypergamy. So like, can you propose like a reversal of hypergamy if you can sort of sell it as like high status? Because I think it is kind of it is definitely stigmatized, but I think it would be. I think it's. I mean, I don't know if it's practical, but I think it's hilarious as like a social experiment, or just kind of promote it, or just promoting it in culture.
Well, something that's interesting about it is like one of the obstacles embedded in it is the can you take something that's low status and make it high status? And
That's the key.
what you're doing is you're basically taking something that's high status and you're saying, what if we invite low status people to the party? Okay. And this is the reason I'm kind of negative on it, is this is like one of the reasons I knew that BLM was going to fold.
I
Okay.
think the other reason against it is that these kind of activities happen, like high status people get together. I think one other angle is people are turned off by like overt displays of hierarchy.
For sure, for sure. But what I was going to say, let me relate BLM to your oral sex experiment for a minute. We're at the height of nonsense in 2020, when everything was just off the rails, I still knew that BLM was not long for this world because it was so popular. It was like a fucking Disney Corporation. Everyone was like lining up to get behind BLM, which is the fastest way to kill something cool. And we've seen this before. In the 1970s, there were the Black Panthers. And within like a few years of the Panthers' inception, they basically go from like this like radical black liberation group to having ice cream that you can just buy at like a Key Foods or a Safeway or whatever fucking grocery chain. And that's how you kill something, is you make it popular. And I think that if you invite trolls to the fun private sex party that is another
So
person's
they
mouth,
would be, but they would be used, they would be like the subs, though.
I totally get it. But I think that you are taking a very male perspective on this, where you think, come on, lady, it's just your fucking pussy. I'm the one that's
Because
got to
that's
put it in my
how
mouth.
that is how like
But
high
girls think of
status,
it the other
because
way.
yeah, that is kind of like how high
Girls think of
status
it
like men might
totally.
act.
Look, girls can absorb things through this thing, okay? Like, they think of this thing as probably more precious than their mouth. And so they are not allowed about to let some guy who drinks like fucking Monster Energy drink and eats Crimson
Oh, do they
stick.
have like the Monster Energy, like the sticky stuff all over their lips
Yeah,
and
no
all
fucking
over their neck
way.
beard?
No fucking way is Ayla about to let this guy do that. That's why I think that you are not going to get a girl who probably has other options to get serviced by a guy who doesn't have any.
It would be funny as like a comedy film idea.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's like some women that would do it, but like, I honestly think you would probably have to pay a woman to let you do that to her. She wouldn't be the one paying for it.
Because it's sort of like how you're sort of taking like male sexuality and you're imposing that, and that's just not how it goes.
Correct. I mean, like, not to get like too gross here. But like, like in the Catholic Church, when they're like having that sex scandal, it's not the priests who are getting their dick sucked. There's people that like to do that. And you seem like you're intensely aware that there are people who like to give oral.
I actually heard that about the scandal. I mean, obviously it's total, obviously they're total deviants, but it is very different than like the stereotype that people have of like of sort of like abusers, or the stereotype that people have of abusers is like people who want to be dominant, and that's
I mean, they are
that
being
what
dominant. Let's not, like euphemize what's occurring there, but like,
obviously it's
it's not,
totally deviant.
yeah, but you're right.
But
Like,
it's totally deviant, but it's a very different like psychological profile or archetype than what people assume.
yeah, well, like, yes, if you are like a straight guy, especially if you're not particularly old, your default assumption is going to be quite the opposite, that the priest is trying to be on the receiving end or whatever. Man, I think they're just horny. I wouldn't even intellectualize it. They're just horny. They probably don't have a lot of options. It might have happened to them too. I'm not trying to like justify it, or I think it's all pretty fucked up. But
Oh, yeah.
like, I guess what I was going to say though is like, clearly, like, there's like none, like, the lesson from all of this is that all of this stuff is asymmetrical and it may or may not be hierarchical. I mean, like, I don't necessarily think that, like, just because someone is the person giving their mouth up, that, like, they're like, I don't think it's like this huge submissive thing or whatever, but maybe that's because I'm a guy and, like, I'm the bigger person, whatever, whatever. But, what I was going to say is that, like, one of the reasons everyone's fucking miserable right now is we say there are not allowed to be asymmetries. Things cannot be unequal. Everything must be at like, has to
It's
be
like
female
this.
friendly. Like, there can be nothing, like, there can be many things that are hostile to men, but everything that feels hostile to women has to be eliminated. And I guess my point being like, but I've noticed, like, if you're a little bit hostile to girls, they like it. If they love you, they'll marry you. And like we're trying to legislate like the ways of man and woman, and like it's super retarded. Like we could be so much happier, but there's like a lot of pretending. And like I'm not saying like I'm not talking about like codifying things or any of this. I'm not saying like making up rules. I'm saying relaxing them. We got so far away from what's practical for people to be happy by like legislating like age gap. And like, look, I'm not saying there can be no enforcement of like some kind of arbitrary age gap. I'm the product of a huge one. It fucking sucked. I do not recommend it. But I'm just saying like maybe we can like ease up on a little bit of the shaming, or like let someone have a fucking orgasm now and then. Like this is miserable. Jesus.
We were talking about like millennial like raunch culture and how things were like in the 00s, and what are your thoughts on like on how Zoomers are sexually? And they're more in some ways they're more in some ways they're actually kind of perverted, but they're in some ways they're more prudish, but they also have like a much greater like mental health crisis, and a lot of them
Yeah,
like much more psychological problems too.
so you know, like I'm gonna sound like a real like sap or whatever here, but when you were talking about how they're like a little bit like fucked up like sexually, it's true, but it's not just like a sexual thing, like it's not disconnected from romance. Like, you know, I don't know that it is that they got exposed to porn so much. Like, I don't mean to say it had no effect or whatever. But like I wonder, you know, like you'll hear, like I can't remember the name of it, but there's some like very contentious effect that's like been alleged or documented in psychology, which basically says that like a substantial portion of like people who say get like molested, that like they basically kind of come out okay, and it's not like this major event for them. Like it is at the time, like it's traumatic, but like they basically grow up and they get married, and if you like plenty of them are going to be like heterosexual, and like it's not a big deal or whatever, whatever. Okay. But going back to this, these Zoomers, it's not so much I think that they saw this porn, it's what they didn't see was anyone in love. Like they didn't see their dad sweeping their mom off their feet and like taking her out to dinner and like looking her in the eye and not checking his BlackBerry, and they didn't see them
It's
like
just,
knowing how
it's
to be
not,
in love.
yeah, I think you're right. It's not like so much like the trauma. It's just that society has become very, very like cold and atomized, and there's no passion. And it's not like necessarily like some people will have like this extreme trauma or really serious mental health issues. But I think it's more just this like broader demoralization and almost like kind of like it's a meta, there's like a metaphysical component as well.
Like, I'll put it to you this way. There are guys, historically for sure, but even to this day, where the many wars on this globe pervade, who go abroad into some other nation's borders in a place they have no business being, and they commit a million fucking war crimes. They do fucked up shit with the bodies. Hopefully, they don't take pictures. Some of these guys are probably raping people, okay? Then these same guys come home, they cry a little bit, and they make love to their wife and they never hit her. And both of these things exist inside of the same human beings. And my point
Yeah, it
is
may
that like
seem like it may seem kind
a
of like
zoomer can see a
psychopathic, but I think it does show you
fucking beheading video and still marry someone. The problem
like
is.
there is, well, there is like this Jungian kind of duality, like people have their shadow self and they're able to turn off one side and shut down the other.
Yes, but I'm saying like the problem is not so much that like a Zoomer is seeing like a fucking ISIS guy get his head blown off or whatever, or see some Slavic guy like headbutt a fucking drone with an explosive on it in the middle of Ukraine or whatever. The issue is he doesn't know what love is. You know, like
Yeah, I think
it's not that like
it's
the
this
Zoomer.
broader.
The Zoomers are not sexually dark like they're raping people. They're sexually dark like they're sitting at home with like a fucking video game controller shoved up their ass or something. Like, you know, it's like you almost wish they would commit a war crime.
This total like social atomization, and like it's not even like, yeah, you're saying it's not like this trauma, but it's just these people like they're like blank basically.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like because. So I'm a very confident guy. And for this reason, once I was out of high school, like high school, I was not particularly successful. But once I was out of high school and I was in college where you have like infinite people you can talk to. And like if one girl thinks you're a dork, you can talk to a different girl. And maybe if she hears the same story, she won't think you're a dork. Or maybe you tailor your story in a way that she finds really funny and charismatic, and it doesn't matter however you get there, but like whatever, you can like find your way and not be such a dweeb. So I don't know what it would be like because in my head, I would still be me. I would just be younger, and I could go around on, say, a college campus talking to girls, and I would do fine with them. But the difference is the girls today are Zoomer girls, and so I have not romantically explored the Zoomer girls as I've been out of the game way too long and I'm too old. But I have had the extreme pleasure of managing some Zoomer girls. And I have to tell you, there's one job I had where I came in as a new boss to many people. And I had to meet this one Zoomer girl. I had to meet everyone, said, "Hey, here's 10 minutes. This is my name. This is where I come from. Tell me a little bit about you. What do you do here? How do you like it?" That stuff. She spent maybe the first 20 of 30 minutes of a meeting in the bathroom. And when she walked out, she was shaking, saying how she doesn't do well at meetings. Let me iterate that there was nothing serious about to happen here. So I don't know if they're approachable or not. And I can't speak to them. I have this bias in my head that I'm the man, but I don't know if I would be the man if I was a Zoomer.
They're more closed off, but I have noticed that a lot of Zoomers, I'm talking, well, basically, well, I mean, pro Zoomers are different and more antisocial, but like upper middle class Zoomers, they do have this at least sort of superficial politeness. Well, I noticed with millennials, like being an asshole to someone or being snarky was a way to show dominance, and that's actually, I've noticed less of that with Zoomers.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think the future holds for the Zoomers sexually?
I think it's bleak for them, but basically, you will have these Darwinian selection pressures, and the healthier people will just, well, they'll just continue and go on, and these like Darwinian selection pressures will kind of take care of things, but I think in the short term, things are going to be really, yeah, I think in the short term, things will probably get a lot worse.
Well, it sounds like you're talking about like procreating. I'm just talking about like
Well,
getting laid.
that, not even that, like just how society is so socially atomized, and just the mental health crisis. I think people are kind of deteriorating. And the thing about like this like atomization, it's not just like people you talk about as like incels. Even people who seem like moderately high in status are also being impacted by this.
Yeah, I mean, because we all have to live in this society. You know, that's the thing. Like, look, I totally get and understand libertarianism, but there are like these select things that just matter to people so much, you kind of can't just leave them up to whim. Like, you know, you can have like your little non-aggression principle, whatever, but like, the moment before someone's gonna shoot you, you know they're gonna do it. And the idea that you're supposed to be like timing, like when is the non-aggression time to fucking
All
slap
right.
them in the right, this is all stupid. It doesn't work. And so regarding like pornography, for instance, like you cannot fucking have, I'm sorry, we cannot have 24/7 porn. This shit is crazy. No one, especially no guy, is equipped to handle this. It is like a constant fucking barrage. Regular social media like Instagram and Twitter is absolutely conspiring to show you all sorts of shit that will hijack your circuitry all the fucking time. And so, like, I'm not saying no porn. Like, I know, like, you try to suppress something, it doesn't work. Black markets, technological breakthrough. I totally get this shit. But I am saying we have got to figure out some kind of fucking thing to make it, like, just slightly harder. But, like, look, like, all women who are married know this. Anything that threatens, like, your mate value, you gotta fucking take that shit out. Like, no woman is going to permit another woman to be around her guy if she's, like, a threat. Like, we gotta figure out something that has threatened just people fucking. Like, for sure, repression works. Repression makes more sex, not less. Everything's so hot. You've never seen a fucking naked woman, and then all of a sudden you see a pubic hair, you're gonna pole vault with your dick. Like, it's just that simple. Like, Catholic people knew
No,
this.
I totally agree, but social conservatives are just totally pathetic and ineffective.
Well, right. I don't want pathetic ones. I want, like, a fucking mullah to come in or something. Like, someone who's effective who makes me respect them.
We were talking about natalism. What do you make of a whole like U-shaped trend in fertility, where fertility is highest among the proles, but it's maybe moderately. It's maybe about at replacement level for the upper class, and maybe gets higher among the ultra wealthy, and then fertility is really crashing hard among the middle.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I know we don't have, like, this country used to have a super fat middle class, which is like that, like, 80s, like, 50s pornography everyone jacks off to. And then, like, you read these Charles Murray books, or,
And I think
like,
it's both. I think some of the middle class is crashing. But there's also been some upward mobility among the middle class. So it's being hollowed out from both like downward and upward mobility.
Yeah, I mean, all I was like, I don't have a lot to say. Like, I really am, like, so turned off by the natalist thing because it all feels so fake. And also, you know, like, Walt talks about this, about how, like, if you just scold people or you just tell them something's fucking bad, they're probably not going to just change their behavior. Like, even anti-smoking, I don't know if you could do that again. Like, when we got people to stop smoking, I don't know, that had to be like sometime between the 70s and the 90s, would be my guess. And people were a lot less cynical and a lot less atomized back then. And you could kind of, like, start a whisper campaign and be like, oh, this thing gives you cancer. Now, no one would believe that a
I
company
think
wants
the
you,
best,
that
well, I
someone
think the
wants you to not use something because it gives you
repression
cancer.
makes something like seem almost cool, but I think the best way to disincentivize something is to make it low status.
Well, this is my point, right? But, like, or you make the opposite of the thing high status is another way of looking at it, right? Like a purity thing or whatever, okay? But my point being, just do the fucking thing. Like, I don't even want to cop to where I was when this happened, but I went to one of these meetup things some years ago that is put on by another prominent podcaster of, like, I don't want to say dissident, although I'm sure he would love this label. We'll just say, like, heterodox or, like, out of the box thinking, whatever. And there was, shit, what was I going to say about this place that was just so absolutely ridiculous? There was this discussion of, like, everything being sexless and colorless and lifeless now.
Oh,
And
right. Like, also the aesthetics, like the 2010s, there's all this, like, all gray, like, minimalism, this really soulless aesthetics, yeah.
So I don't want to talk too much shit, but this, like, prominent podcaster whose beat this is what he's always on about, he's, like, doing this whole thing, and I just get up and I ask a question of this person who, like, does not dress particularly well, is certainly not in shape, but has all these ideas, like, very much like the critic from the cartoon, the John Lovitz cartoon.
Oh, right, I remember that show.
And yeah, just a fat person with opinions. And I said, like, basically, like, all of this is gay. Like, why are we talking about this. Like, if you like the 80s so much when everything was just turned up to the max, like, why don't you just get super jacked, cut the sleeves off your shirt, fucking get a mohawk, get some pit vipers, slap a girl's ass, like, do all this shit. But, like, all of this stroking our beard stuff is, like, exactly the stuff people make fun of, like, communists for, right? But, like, you have all this theory, and you do nothing. You do nothing in the real world. You just talk about tanks and putting people up against the wall of what you're going to do when fat nerds run the world or whatever the fuck is, like, happening in your head. And they don't do anything. And to me, this is super lame. And, like, if you want to be a natalist, you should go set the example. Look like a really fucking hot heterosexual person who's dating a hot heterosexual person of the opposite sex. You don't have to show a lot of skin. Just be in public, in love, crank out a couple kids, bring those kids in public, still be in love, crank out more, have the older kids give you a hand with the younger ones, and make it look so much fun and so cool, and people will do this. But getting on the internet and starting flame wars with, like, someone like me who doesn't have kids and doesn't want one, and, like, go ahead, diss me all fucking day, suck my cock, I don't give a shit. Like, what are you going to do about it? You should love it. If you want to outcompete me, like, be my guest, whatever. But I think that, like, people who use these, like, natalism trolls or try to dunk on people with it, it is not the effective tool that they think it is. It is probably at odds with them being a convincing, charming human. And it can definitely hurt them. But, like, if you just go out there and do it, you serve both purposes, which is, like, you begin to hack away at the issue by having your 7, 8, 9 kids, but also you're proselytizing it, you're advertising it. And that is so much more effective than your mouth. Like, you know, no one ever has to use words to convince someone to use a prostitute, to buy drugs, to use steroids. All of this shit sells itself. And so if you make a product so good that people want it, they will line up to buy it.
What do you think about, like, physiognomy and, like, the whole science of, like, how people's appearance matches different archetypes? Are you interested in it?
I wouldn't say I'm interested in it. I believe in it for sure. This is like something like a quick aside. I always tell this one, but it's like a good one. So I can remember I worked this one part-time job some years ago. It absolutely sucked. And at this job, there were like 30 some odd of us sales guys. Almost everyone there was a boomer. It was an absolutely crazy job. And then there were some Gen X guys and a very small handful of millennials. So one of these Gen X guys, he looks like me. To describe myself physically for people, I'm like 5'10", about 205 pounds, pretty muscly, bald head, big spiky beard. There's this guy there who looks just like me, but he's like 2 inches shorter. So he's about 5'8", way bigger, way more muscle and some more body fat, like just big, strong farm boy, like 240. And also bald, same beard, except he's black. Okay. We got along swimmingly from day one, joking around. We thought very similarly. We didn't drive the same car, but we liked the same cars, interested in a lot of the same stuff, to put it mildly. And one day, my wife comes into the store. And she is a short Spanish lady. And after she leaves the store, he didn't know it was my wife. He said something about her being cute. And I said, I'm glad he thinks she's cute because that's my wife. Not in a threatening way, but, like, you know, that's a compliment. Someone thinks your wife is desirable. That's good. So he blushed and apologized. And he said, you know, my wife is also like 5 feet tall and she's Mexican. So I said, huh. But anyway, long story short, I'm still in touch with this guy on occasion. But so we're racially different, but our body, head shape, even the way our beards grew, was like dead on. And our taste in women, exact same. Both like really fast Dodge, like Chargers, Challengers, shit like that. And he liked these like really cool fucking bullpup guns that just looked so awesome. And I gotta admit, they look so cool. But I definitely believe in physiognomy. And also, by the way, in meat space, I train people like how to lift weights, how to do calisthenics, kettlebells, stupid circus tricks, whatever. And you can look at someone and look at their body type and ideally see them move through space. And in a very short amount of time, you can kind of predict what things they're going to be good at, what things they're going to struggle with. Mechanics are real. I find that like short, small people who are like real fidgety, they're often very anxious, just like small dogs. And real big motherfuckers often have slow metabolism. They have big, deep voice like me. They speak slow. They blink slow. They don't blink a lot. Like there's types out there. What do you think about physiognomy?
Yeah, I think it's there's just so many types, like all these different, like people who like liberal people who have different political ideologies look a certain way. It overlaps class, it overlaps religion, personality type. But I'm not sure if there's been like a really extensive way to study it, but it's really fascinating.
I mean, for sure, people studied this stuff for probably thousands of years. Like, I don't know where those tomes are. Like, something that's interesting I'll point out is, so like, I'll take a mild fact. I have heard that the size of your head, well, the size of your brain, I should say, tracks with IQ. Now, I have to say, one of the smartest people I know has a very exceptionally small head.
I've a pretty big head.
But I will say, like, I've just heard this, okay? Now, stepping away from that one thing that kind of makes logical sense and is a small, finite detail in an otherwise non-ideological place, to speak of phrenology, I have to say it's quite interesting that I can recall when I was in middle and high school, my US history books were going out of their way at pains to talk about this thing that's supposed to be like a fringe ideology, right? And what they're basically doing is signaling this stuff is so stupid. Look at these stupid motherfuckers from back in the day who believe this backwards ass horseshit. Any association with this should be laughed out of polite society, and these people are evil.
Well, there's that show. I'm trying to think of what it's called, but it's a pretty normie YouTube channel where they line up a bunch of people and they have you guess like what their background is and or to rank them on some metric based on how they look. And it's interesting because it's such a normie show, but is it maybe Jubilee? I'm not sure,
I have
but
no clue.
it's such a normie show, but it's like totally normalizing physiognomy.
Well, what I was gonna say is, I mean, look, dude, like people believe in this stuff, they just don't acknowledge it. And people were like very asymmetrical where we grant these things, for instance, like I can think of so many examples, but like, like, well, there's like an obvious tension, for instance, with people with doing like where we're going to acknowledge being trans and where maybe we're not going to acknowledge it. For instance, like people seem obviously somewhat comfortable being in a room where you're forced to or obliged to give your gender pronouns, right? And like that's kind of like a low rent thing. People can wrap their head around, okay. We do this stupid ritual at the beginning of the meeting. It's a
Yeah,
thing
like
that allows us.
right wing people are outraged by it, but it's not, but to be honest, it's not like a big sacrifice. It's a pretty minor thing.
Correct. This is my point. But people have a couple feelings about like the locker room, or for instance, like Olympic fighting, right? Like martial arts, shit like that.
Because there's a degree of intimacy there.
Correct. But my point being, like, we're not remotely principled with like where we apply this stuff. And there's a lot of like tension there. And I was going to say you can see that similar tension. It's just like the tension between like this like unassailable fact of biology and then like this quasi-assailable fact of culture.
We're getting close to the end of the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add or projects that you'd like to plug and plug your Substack before we wrap up?
Yeah, I mean, as far as plugging my things go, I am plugging my Substack. It's new, but it's growing rapidly and going quite well. I would point people to two things, whatever my most recent post is. In this case today, I put up something about Kamala Harris's meme magic and how real or fabricated that may be. But also, if you start at the top, my most read one, it's called Three Uncomfortable Truths. It's a great way to get acquainted with my writing style and how I think.
Great. Ancient Problems. Thanks so much for being on.
Of course.